You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mihalik. Our sources are National Catholic Register, Catholic News Agency, and the Denver Catholic. Archbishop Aquila slams both parties over immigration failures outside ICE facility in Aurora. Denver Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila, together with Auxiliary Bishop Jorge Rodriguez, led a Station of the Cross prayer service around the ICE detention facility in Aurora. Several hundred attended the peaceful procession and joined in saintly solidarity with innumerable immigrants affected by the current immigration crisis. In his remarks following the Stations of the Cross, Archbishop Aquila lambasted both U.S. political parties, failing immigrants and using them for selfish political gain. He called on those gathered, and indeed all Catholics, Christians, and people of goodwill, to pray and act to defend the dignity of every human person, especially migrants. I want to thank all of you for coming today as we have prayed and walked the Stations of the Cross. They're reminders to us of God's love for all people and for the immigrants, for the stranger, for those who were sick and suffering, and for all those who are in need of our prayer. We must remember the dignity of every human being. That dignity is not bestowed by any government. That dignity comes from God and God alone. Both political parties have failed horribly when it comes to immigration. They have treated immigrants as pawns for their own elections, for their own desires, and they have failed every immigrant, both political parties, not just one, but both. And they have not served people well. Their only interest is themselves and that alone. In getting to the next election, it is important for us as Catholics and as Christians and as people of goodwill to give witness to the dignity of the human person, that every human being, whether they believe it or not, whether they are the atheist, agnostic, whether they be Hindu or Muslim, whether they be Jewish or Christian, every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. It is important to always understand that God never stops loving a human being, no matter who that human being is, no matter who that president may be, no matter who that person in Congress may be, no matter who that world leader may be. God is love, and it is impossible for God to not love. It is human beings who stop loving. It is human beings whose hearts are so hardened that they are rocks. And as God knocks on that door, they still refuse to believe. They still refuse to trust in Him. As we have walked this way of the cross and seeing how much God loves us, that He has died for you and for your sins, whether you believe it or not, He has. Whether you receive it or not, He still offers it to you. What we see in the brokenness of our immigration system is horrendous, especially when it comes to human trafficking, when it comes to sex trafficking, the trafficking of children, and the trafficking of drugs. That all undermines the dignity of the human person. I just learned a couple of days ago that there is finally a bill in Congress that is supported bipartisan, and it is called the Dignity Act. It is to take care of immigrants who have come to this country. They may not have come with documents, but they have been living here peacefully for 10, 20, 30 years. Many of us know them, and they need a path to citizenship. The only ones who can mess that up are the political parties and the people of Congress, as they add their special preferences to the bill. If they just did not touch the bill the way it is today, it would be fine. But our system is broken, and it is because we put political parties before the dignity of the human being. And so I encourage you, my sisters and brothers, and I thank you for being here today to give witness to the dignity of the human person, and to the goodness of every human being from the moment of their conception through natural death. Let us continue to work for the immigrant and to proclaim Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. May the Lord bless all of you and thank you for your witness. Finding grace in grief, how faith and counseling brings healing at life's end, by Lisa Smith of St. Raphael Counseling, a ministry of Catholic Charities. When we face the loss of someone we love, our hearts often struggle to make sense of what feels impossible to bear. At St. Raphael Counseling, a ministry of Catholic Charities, we witness this sacred space every day, where pain, love, and faith meet in the human heart. It's in this place that healing begins and where God quietly reminds us that even in our sorrow, we are never alone. Recently, during one of our grief psychoeducation classes, a single mom attended with tears in her eyes. Her teenage daughter had died by suicide, and she came seeking guidance on how to help her surviving son navigate his grief while managing her own heartbreak. She listened quietly for most of the class, occasionally nodding as we discussed the nature of grief, how it's not something to get over, but rather something to walk through with grace, faith, and compassion. "I just don't know how to be strong for him," she said. By the end of the class, the mother shared that she felt lighter. "I didn't realize how much I needed to hear that I don't have to have all the answers," she said. That's the quiet miracle that happens in these moments when we bring our grief into the light of faith and community. It becomes something we can hold together. Grief is, as writer Jamie Anderson so beautifully said, really just love. It's all the love you want to give but cannot. All of that unspent love gathers in the corners of your eyes, the lump in your throat, and in that hollow part of your chest. Grief is just love with no place to go. St. Raphael Counseling, we see this truth daily. The classes and support groups we offer for those facing loss are not just about understanding the psychology of grief. They are about rediscovering the presence of God within it. Clients are invited to see that grief, that their grief, though deeply painful, is also a profound expression of love. For many who attend, the session are their first step toward healing. Some come shortly after a death, still in shock and disbelief. Others join months later, realizing that grief lingers in subtle ways. We discuss practical tools for coping, like maintaining healthy routines, engaging in self-care, and finding ways to honor the memory of loved ones. But we also sit with the mystery of suffering and love, reflecting on how Christ himself entered into death so that it would never have the final word. As Catholics, we believe that death is not an ending, but a transformation, a passage from this life into eternal communion with God. This belief doesn't erase the pain of separation, but it infuses our sorrow with hope. When clients and families begin to understand this, something shifts. The grief doesn't disappear, but it becomes part of a larger story, one held within the mercy of Christ. A man attended a support group last fall and later shared that the ideas discussed helped him find meaningful ways to honor his wife during the holidays. He had dreaded the season and wasn't sure how we would be able to be present with his children and grandchildren. Though it was difficult, he found comfort in creating a new family ritual to remember her, one that became special for everyone. It reminded him that love doesn't end, it simply changes form. In many ways, that is the essence of what we do. Help people see that grief is not a problem to be fixed, but a sacred journey to be tended. We honor each person's story and invite them to encounter God in their pain. During this month, when the Church calls us to remember the dead and pray for souls, many Catholics feel called to reflect on life's finality. These reflections can be uncomfortable, even avoided. Yet as Christians, we are invited to face death not with fear, but with faith. Preparing for the end of life, whether our own or that of someone we love, is not a denial of hope, but an act of love and peace. It allows families to have honest conversations, express forgiveness, share memories, and deepen their trust in God's providence. St. Raphael Counseling, our ministry, seeks to accompany people through those tender moments, whether through individual counseling, grief classes, or parish workshops. We walk with those who mourn, offering both psychological support is spiritual engagement, because in the end, grief is not just about loss. It is about love. Love that aches, love that endures, and love that ultimately leads us home to God. St. Raphael Counseling is a proud member of the End of Life Network, a ministry of the Archdiocese of Denver, dedicating to helping Catholics approach the end of life with faith, dignity, and hope. To learn more about grief support groups, counseling, or parish workshops, visit www.StRaphaelCounseling.com. What Google Images Get Wrong About Christian Prayer by Elizabeth Zelasco. It was several years ago, so I couldn't tell you now what I was working on when I went searching for reference photos of someone in prayer. I only remember typing something along the lines of man praying on his knees into Google. What came up generally startled me. Image after image of people on their knees, grasping, begging, and pleading in anguish. I wasn't looking for anguish. I wanted peace, a face at rest, a posture of someone held in a father's embrace. It wasn't until I changed my search term to meditation that I finally found what I had been looking for, but the images were anything but Catholic. Is this what the world thinks of Christians at prayer? Is that what they think we do when we pray? Although this search was some years ago, I was starkly reminded of the occasion just last month. I was at morning prayer in the comfort of my home with my Magnificat on my lap. I was stating my intentions, calling to mind all those who might need prayer, and my thoughts naturally gravitated toward my teenage children. Jesus, please, please, please be with them. Protect them from all harm. Jesus, keep them close to you and the church, always and forever. Please, Jesus. It was then that he spoke directly to my heart, as he tends to do with us, that tender, inaudible, but oh so clear voice. You do not have to beg me for this. It was as clear as day, and not my own thought, to be sure. There I was, pleading like a servant, when I am a daughter of the King, grasping, groping, begging. I know, who can blame a mother these days? It's easy to worry about our children. But God calls us to a sure footing. St. Paul put it well when he encouraged the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, Philippians 4:6. I was no better than the stereotype I had dismissed years prior, and yet God was still there, ready to steady my feet on a healthier approach to prayer. This stunning painting, The Nun by Henriette Brown, speaks exactly to the posture of prayer and contemplation that my heart desires to imitate. The atmosphere in this image is tangibly silent. The surrounding darkness draws our attention to the nun's serene downward gaze, first to the white wimple of her habit, and then back to her peaceful, contemplative face. She is not lost in idle thought. The painter reveals her focus by showing us her finger resting on the place where she left off in her prayers. We can easily imagine something unexpected from the text struck her, and it was enough to close the book for a moment and think about it. Or perhaps it is the part of her prayer where she names her intentions and makes her petitions known to the Father. She is peaceful in this moment of reflection. She will return to prayer and know exactly where she left off when the time comes, but she is in no rush to get there. We can see the grace and power of her habit of prayer. All is well in her soul in this moment. There's not an ounce of anxiety to be found in her. In a world that grows increasingly loud and seems to grasp for attention at every turn, silence is the pearl of great price to be sought after and defended at all costs. This painting raises the question, when do I make time to pray in quiet like this? Every day? Sometimes? Maybe the answer is not as often as I would like. Read, never. but I have big plans to start one of these days. Christ is calling us and waiting for us. What would it look like to pray in silence just for a minute? How would it feel to be able to pray in peace? To pray like the sons and daughters of the King that we are. We have nothing to worry about and no need to beg our petitions. Jesus himself reminds us, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He is holding this gift to us freely. All we have to do is receive it. As we step into Advent and mark the new year, let this painting remind us of the powerful posture of prayer that we're invited to take. May this season help us cultivate a prayer life that shifts our hearts from anxiety to a stillness, meditation, and deep contemplation. Curing the Contagion of Ingratitude by Jared Stout. What do you have that you did not receive? 1 Corinthians 4:6. Western society has lived in open revolt against authority and tradition since the 1960s. Among the many causes and dispositions that underlie this societal rebellion, ingratitude starts at the very top. Just as a teenager might retort to their parents, so a society has said to our cultural heritage and faith, I do not need you. I know better than you. It's time to get rid of the outdated ways of doing things. And while we might posit this disposition on a societal level, the attitude of ingratitude has permeated how we think. I deserve better than this. Everything is someone else's fault. I don't owe anything to anyone. I have rights that must be respected. Rather than gratitude for the gift of life and all that we have received, we foster a spirit of entitlement and self-focused gratification. How much our current state of ingratitude contrasts with the ideals of the past can be heard through the voice of one of the West's great orators, Cicero, in his speech in defense of Plancius. For indeed, gentlemen, while I would fain have some tincture of all the virtues, there is no quality I would sooner have and be thought to have than gratitude. For gratitude not merely stands alone at the head of all the virtues, but is even mother of all the rest. What is filial affection, if not a benevolent gratitude to one's parents? What is patriotism? What is service to one's country in war and peace, if it is not a recollection of benefits received from that country? What is piety and religion, save a due reverence and remembrance in praying to the immortal gods the thanks that we owe? Take friendship away, and what joy can life continue to hold? More, how can a friendship exist at all between those who are devoid of gratitude? Ingratitude reveals a fundamental spiritual contagion that afflicts our culture, turning us away from the font of virtue and faith, preventing the formation of patriotism and friendship. It leaves the soul in isolation, cut off from its roots, and therefore disoriented, as it tries to stake out a new path forward on its own. You are not your own, St. Paul importantly reminds us, especially in a modern world. We did not choose to be born. We did not choose our family, physical attributes, aptitudes, or personality traits. Our lives take shape at a particular place and time, not of our own choosing. Our lives are essentially a gift, something that we have received, with which we've been entrusted, not simply for our own good, but for that of others as well. Gratitude expresses a fundamental disposition of acceptance, of the recognition of the goodness of life that we have received and are meant to give back generously. Happiness, in fact, arrives precisely from letting go of self-assertion and joyfully expressing the goodness of life in union with others. Giving thanks, therefore, is a duty, and duties point us to things greater than ourselves. The duties, despite the modern stigma, need not become sterile expressions of mere obligation. Most often, they are rooted in relationship, calling us to the very self-gift that stands at the source of life. Joseph Pieper, the great German philosopher, points out that moments of festivity, such as Thanksgiving feasts, express this duty in a joyful way, using food, drink, music, and dance to affirm creation's goodness. Selfish ingratitude, however, undercuts the whole possibility of festivity as an act of thanks, which is perhaps why American holidays have morphed into occasions for consumerism. Pieper explains, there can be no festivity when man, imagining himself self-sufficient, refuses to recognize the goodness of things which goes far beyond any conceivable utility. It is the goodness of reality taken as a whole, which validates all other particular goods, which man himself can never produce, nor simply translate into social or individual welfare. He truly receives it only when he accepts it as pure gift. The only fitting way to respond to such gift is by praise of God in ritual worship. In short, it is the withholding of public worship that makes festivity wither at the root. Pieper points us to the Eucharist as a central act of thanksgiving and the height of Christian festivity. Jesus himself, having received all things from his Father, often gave thanks. Receptivity marked his life and ministry as he emphasized that he said and did only what he received from the Father. He invites us into this same receptivity, offering the infinite gift of his own sonship to us through the adoption of our baptism. Especially in the Eucharist, a word that means thanksgiving in Greek, he invites us to share in his gratitude as a cure for our rebellious ingratitude. Jesus gave us the highest means of giving thanks, enabling us to offer his sacrifice to the Father, placing our lives alongside his as we give everything back to God. It's time to put an end to the rebellion of ingratitude. We can begin with ourselves, cutting off any anger, bitterness, or unforgiveness within us. Can we express gratitude to God no matter what happens? This is what Paul exhorted us to do, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father, Ephesians 5:12. If we adopt this attitude, might our interactions with family over the holidays take us on a different character? It's not like decades of distance can disappear overnight, but breaking bread to give thanks to God as we're doing this month can become a source of deeper communion. Let's resist the temptation to argue or succumb to negativity, instead focusing on sharing memories and offering forgiveness. Gratitude both reflects and fosters communion. This simple and humble expression of gratitude can become a means of cherishing life and all within it as a gift. Here are some upcoming events of interest. Thursday, December 4th, Ready for Birth at St. Thomas More Parish at 8035 South Quebec Street, Centennial. Gain knowledge, direction, and the resources you need as you welcome new life into your family. Rebecca Muir, professional fertility coach, childbirth educator, and labor doula with more than 16 years of experience, will offer her expertise, knowledge, and insight to expectant parents. Friday, December 5th, 7th Annual Bella Ball. You're invited to join the Bella Health Wellness Team for the 7th Annual Bella Ball on December 5th, 2025. Bella is dedicated to continuing our mission to provide dignified care at all stages of life. Our annual benefit ensures we can continue operating as a nonprofit faith-based medical clinic serving women, men, children, and families in need. At a time when it's more important than ever to stand for freedom, your support gives us the courage and strength to keep making a difference in our community. Even details? Seawell Ballroom, Denver Center for the Performing Arts, at 6 p.m. cocktail hour, 7 p.m. program, attire, black tie, optional, formal. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.